Many days we just need to be reminded of the simple truth, don't we? Thank you, Gary, and the worship team. Last night, had a wonderful opportunity with the Jesus Loves You banquet with all the ladies that were able to make it, and Don McConnell and his faithful helpers to serve a delicious meal. Would you agree, ladies, that partook of that last night? It was just a little bit of food, wouldn't you say? It was 8 courses. It was light on starch. We had red velvet cake. We had lasagna. We had pasta. We had salad. We had appetizer. We had soup. I said salad. We had green beans. It was a lot of stuff. It was awesome. And praise God for that. And I think that's a great segue as I get ready to pray for us, because this morning we're going to talk about being a servant. Being a servant. To whom do you serve? Let's pray. Father, you are mighty in this place. God, I thank you that not only through your written word, but through your living, breathing word, you tell us you love us. Through your Holy Spirit, through your mercy and your grace, you tell us. God, speak to us this morning. And God, I believe to some of us, you're going to speak to some tender spots. And so, Lord, I pray that we'd fully engage, fully embrace. In Jesus' name, we bless you, we honor you, Father. Amen. So many of you are so faithful to serve God in so many capacities. I mean, every Sunday, worship team, kids workers and all age groups. Miss Jerry brings part of her buffet to us every Sunday morning. Miss Linda McCusker back there. Linda, how many years have you been making those muffins? Well, the church started in 94, 93, but started meeting in 90, not too long after that. Walked in, muffins, and Masako had her Dunkin' Donuts ready to go. Dunkin' little holes was back there with the coffee with Teresa and Miss Caroline King. Faithfulness, servant attitude. Praise God for all of you that are so faithful to serve week in and week out, day in and day out. Because I know that as you go through life, sometimes life hits us before we see the opportunities. So you got to be prepared for those moments when God desires to use you. You got to be filled with Him so you can spill over into the world that we live in. And we're continuing a series this morning. The series is just taking a walk or following Jesus. And I know there's probably been some times, maybe this morning, but probably just this week, you kind of feel like you're just going through the motions. You know what to do. You kind of just sit into autopilot mode, which honestly, goodness, I want to tell you something right now. If I see any of y'all in one of those self-driving cars, since I followed some of you, I'm still going to be scared of you driving. Okay? But some of us live life in autopilot mode. I believe that because I've done it. I understand that I can get into a day, I can get into a rut, just going through the motions. No feeling. No joy, no excitement, just seeing people but never engaging people. Jesus has a lot more force. God created us, but He's still making us, right? Amen? But are we cooperating with that process? Are we cooperating with what God's still doing in our lives? Because most of you look like you're still breathing. Does that mean God's still in the process? So as we go to the third installment of our series this morning, John, you're going to put it up. Serving God, it's who you are, it's who I am. It's not something we just do. It is part of our essence. It's part of our DNA because of what was done for us and what's been done to us on the inside. Last couple of weeks, the first week, we looked at God's Word and just allowing that to just absorb us so we can absorb it, so we can impact the world in different things. And last week, Pastor Rick looked at denying self and submission. And we're building, because God's still building us. So I'm not asking you to answer me, but I would ask you to think about this. How has your Bible engagement been? Is it still kind of, or do you feel like you're at least making some progress? You've realized that God's Word is alive, that God's Word is life-changing. And it's not just words on a page or words on an iPad or some electronic device. That when fully engaged, it can make a difference. In fact, very often, if you engage God in His Word, did you know He's telling you about the past? He's telling you about the present? He may even speak to you about the future. Because that happened to me this week. I won't tell you the story because it won't make sense, so there's no need to get on a tangent, okay? But I was listening to somebody talk, and they brought up a scripture, and I was like, man, God, I know that's for me. And you know how I knew it was for me? Because my countenance on the inside changed. I could feel that surge, that strong impression. It would have been awesome if it would have been an audible voice. But it was so strong that I knew it was of God because it agreed with His Word, because it was His Word, and it agreed with what I think He's doing in my life. Bible engagement. Not putting self first, but putting Him first. Denying those desires to just sometimes be ho-hum and lackadaisical. In fact, just sometimes being lazy. Denying self and submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We're building something. We're going somewhere. This is about being on mission. And that mission might be the person in the mirror. But I want to ask you something this morning as you look at being a servant of God, not something you do, but who you are. I would ask you to think about this. Do you spend more time consumed with the person in the mirror, or do you spend more time consumed with the people that you look through out a window? Do you see life through a mirror or through a window? And here's what I mean is, are you more consumed with you, yourself, and I, or are you more consumed with how you can impact the world we live in? Because opportunities abound, don't they? This morning, I praise God for your faithfulness, those who serve faithfully. But I want to encourage you that God is blessing you and using you in those ways. But I want to challenge us because there's still work to do, right? So it says in Matthew 23:11-12, Jesus is speaking. He says, the greatest among you must be a servant, but those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. If I just stayed right there and just let you look at that passage for a while, what would be God be speaking to you this morning? Because Jesus turned things upside down, being a rabbi on his way to Jerusalem, looking towards the crucifixion. He says, we're going to flip this around. And if you really want to be all that God intended for you to be, your attitude, your countenance, your posture in life must be one that's willing to lay it all down at any moment, so God can lift you up and be useful in the kingdom of God. I love the fact that Paul reminds us throughout the New Testament, God confounds, which means He confuses, He messes with the people that think they've arrived. I love that. It gives me great encouragement because I know I haven't arrived. I get lost usually on the way. It gives me great encouragement to know I'm not ever the smartest guy in the room. It gives me great encouragement. I'm not the best, the greatest of anything. But God says, I'll still use you, because those who think they've made it, I can't use that. Arrogance blocks what I'm trying to do in their life. So serving God is who you are, not something you do. John, let's go. First couple of scriptures. John, you put the first point if you want to. The master said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now we'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate it together. And then that's the parable of the talents that Jesus was quoting. But then he also says in John 12:26, anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. The why and how of being a servant of God to Him and others. Number one, serving others is an act of worshiping God. I challenge you about something. I believe a lot of us desire to serve Him. I believe a lot of us want to serve Him. I believe a lot of us like serving Him. But I think a challenge for all of us is this, is how have we compartmentalized that? I like, but God, I don't think that's for me. That's just like if you say this morning, all you're going to do is worship God in those last three songs. I hope that you're not finished worshiping God this week. And I hope that you see being a servant of God and seeing it work itself out is an actual act of worshiping Him. It's a way to worship Him. You are pointing to the one who has enabled you, gifted you, given you talents, given you resources, and most of all, given you opportunities. I love the fact that it says in John 12:26, anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Look, an act of worship should bring us and point us to the one who created us and loved us. And so Jesus is saying, I want you to be right here with me, because I want to be right there with you. And I want us to be so close that you think my very physical manifestation could happen at any moment. To be that close to Him is a privilege and an act of worship. That closeness. You see where it says honor? Think of honor as this. Bringing yourself close to God the Father. where you can actually sense His presence, where you can feel His presence. Now, that may not become important at this very moment to you, but how about when you leave this building? How about tomorrow or Tuesday or Wednesday, when in the whirlwind of life, confusion sets in, aggravation sets in, anger sets in, and I don't mean a holy, righteous indignation. I mean, you're just angry, and you don't even know why. Because I live in a world that has an undercurrent of anger. Do you understand that? You understand that when you leave this building, wherever you might go, okay, if you go especially to a place of business, you know there's a lot of people there that are angry. They don't even know what they're angry about. They just know there's something missing. There's just something missing. So serving Him out of who you are is an act of worship. Number two, John. Serving others impacts their heart. What was I just talking about? Impacting someone's heart. Yeah, serving someone can impact them physically, but I believe it starts right with the heart. That seat of emotions. That place where we touch the tender spots. Respecting someone. Acknowledging their existence. That they have value. That they have a worth to them. What was Jason doing? One thing Jason was doing yesterday about baseball camp. Wasn't ever just about baseball. What was it, Jason? Nah. Last night, was that just about eating some food, ladies? No. That was about hearing something that we need. Isn't it amazing? We all know the truth of Jesus loves us, but how quickly the world will lie, kill, and still destroy that truth. And we wake up and we go, man, you sure? You sure He still loves me? You sure He's still enough for me? You really think I have what it takes, God, to be useful in the kingdom of God? And we need to hear it over and over and over. And if you need to hear it over and over and over, how about all those that are broken and don't know the truth and haven't heard the truth and not embracing the truth? Serving others impacts their heart, changes their countenance, gives them hope, lets them look up and say, yes, yes, my circumstances may not be any different, but I'm looking to one who's outside circumstances. Question for you today. What if the only reward you got was doing the work of the kingdom? What if He didn't give you anything else? I mean, you got salvation. You got that, okay? But after that, He says, you're just going to put your hand to the plow. You're like, what's in it for me? The hand of the plow. You get a plow. You get a field. That's it. That's all you get. That's the reward. I challenge you with something. You want to grow and be closer to God and feel His presence and all those things you say you think you want, being in His Word, putting Him first, okay? Learn that in the grind to have gratitude. Learn in the day-to-day activities to say, I'll be thankful. I'll be thankful. Number three, John. John 13:3-5 says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power and that He had come from God and was returning to God. So He got up from the meal. What was that meal? The last Passover He would serve with His disciples. He took off His outer clothing and He wrapped a towel around His waist. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash His disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around Him. Serving others is an act of faith. Jesus changed His posture from, I am head of this group, to I'll be the servant of the group. I find this timing very unique, and here's why. This was right before Jesus would be led to the garden to pray and then be led away for crucifixion. But yet, one of His last physical acts with His disciples was to get up and wash their dirty, stinking feet. Now, let me ask you a question. When life is really on you, and it's really tough, and it's really just dragging, and you feel overwhelmed, is your first thought of, man, I gotta go find somebody to serve? And also, is your first attitude, let me go find the person that disgusts me the most, because Jesus washed Judas's feet. He washed the one that He knew was going to betray Him. I've often wondered, what was going through Judas's mind when he had to look up or look down? Think about something. Jesus went to a posture of humility. Okay? He didn't stand up, pour some water over him, and say, good enough. He knelt. The Savior knelt in their presence. He knelt before Judas. He was entrusting that they would get it, that they would start to understand one more time. Instead of just telling them a parable, He decided, we're going to live this joker out today. We're going to do something as an act of faith. Because who am I? I'm a servant of my Father. And I only do what I see Him doing. So when you're serving others, and you may see no fruit. You're doing it as an act of faith that God is up to something. In the silence, He's still speaking loudly. The world we live in, oh, it may seem like God is not doing something, but He's up to a lot of things. All you need to do is pay attention. Ask, share, read. I told you guys a couple weeks ago about the app I have on my phone from Voice of the Martyrs, persecuted.com. And every day they tell you about a country to pray about, but then they give you information about that country. And one of the things they always tell is how the Voice of the Martyrs workers, what they're doing in that country. They're always telling about how they're getting Bibles to more people. This past week it was about North Korea. So what are the Voice of the Martyrs workers doing to get there? They're doing the balloons where they tie Bibles and gospel tracts in the native language. They're releasing them from the other countries around there where they sneak in to do that, by the way. So they sneak in to do something to go to a country they can't get in. I think that's a good act of faith. Number four, John. Serving God is who you are, not something you do. If it is encouraged, then encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And then in Galatians 5 says, rather serve one another humbly in love. The why and the how being a servant of God to serve Him and others. Serving others isn't conditional. And I alluded a little bit to that when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet with Judas. I know that for all of us, that we always have this list of to get done, don't we? We always have a list. Okay? I want you to know, probably the hardest thing for me is to throw the list out. Because as soon as I say, God, I'm getting rid of this list, and then I feel like God's telling me to do something, you know the next thing I'm doing, right? But God, I need to get... God, don't you know? Isn't it funny how often we tell God things that are so stupid like that? But God, didn't you know? God, don't you understand? God, what if serving others isn't conditional? And again, I praise God for your faithful servant, the way you serve so awesomely every week in so many capacities. But I want you to see that as we see ourselves as a servant of God, as we're giving unto others, as God is filling us up, as we're pouring it out, done with humility, done with the attitude of Romans 12:8 and Galatians 5:13 as John goes to point number five. To serve others with humility, generosity, diligence, and cheerfulness. That sounds easy. Truth is I don't even know if that's easy for the people that I like serving, that I love serving. You know one of the hardest things I fight serving? You see, service starts at home. I don't export what I don't import. And service starts at home. And sometimes, number five, is hardest to do against the person that I know will love me unconditionally, and that's Kathy. So what if I don't do it in humility? So what if I'm not generous? So what if I get around to it? And so what if I remind her early and often she's a kept woman? Isn't that right, Gwen and Beverly? I told them last night, we were talking about it, I said, go ask Kathy. She's a kept woman. Go ask her. So, no, it's not always that easy. But I'll remind myself, and I need reminding a lot. I get to do it because it's done for me. It's imparted to me. God has given me that opportunity. And you see, I don't get to lay down the who I want and who I don't. But the attitude, that fruit of humility and generosity and diligence and cheerfulness. I think all of you are familiar with a little song called Amazing Grace. And you're probably familiar with the gentleman who wrote it. His name happens to be John Newton. You probably know that story. One of the best John Newton stories, I think, is at the end of his life. After doing all that garbage on slave ships and should have been dead 100 times over, God got a hold of me and he kept. That's one of the reasons why Amazing Grace has 25 verses. Because he just had to keep writing because he realized that he should have been dead over and over and over. But God's love got a hold of him. But towards the end of his life, literally on his deathbed, he pulled one of his good young pastor friends to him. And he said, I'm about to depart from this life, and I shall go the way to heaven. And I suspect that when you arrive, that you will probably look for me. And I will let you know exactly where you will probably find me. You will find me at the foot of the thief that was on the cross next to Jesus. To me, that's humility. That's an understanding that says, I haven't arrived. I'm on the journey. Serving is part of who you are as a follower of Christ. It's part of who I am. The why and the how. It's an opportunity to be awesome in a culture that does not want Jesus. So let's look at some practical ways other than serving just in specific ways this morning. Let's look at some practical ways. John hit it. The what and the where of being a servant of God to Him and others. Think about something for a second. Praying for the lost and become followers of Jesus. Who's in your life that needs Jesus? Praying diligently. Praying with urgency. Praying with humility. Asking God, guide those prayers and being consistent. That's being a servant. Invest in the body of Christ and opportunities in the community. Unlimited. Unlimited. Miss Becky Locke and Miss Gail Rogers are not here this morning. They're over all of our kids' stuff in the back. But we have areas that need to be filled back there. Maybe you can't do it every week. Maybe you just like to fill in sometimes. If you're interested in that, put that on your card. Okay? Maybe you're like, what are some opportunities in the community? Put that on the card. There's unlimited opportunities to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Okay? Invest in others. Spend time with others. Mentoring and discipling. That right there. Soak on that for 5 seconds. All right. If we and the Big C Church did number three, all those others changed like that. I guarantee it. Jesus invested. Paul invested. And you know what? If people hadn't invested in me, I wouldn't be here. And most of you wouldn't be where you are without number three happening. Somebody thought you were worth the effort. Somebody thought you were worth the time. Somebody thought, you know what? I'm going to give them the best of me because they're the creation of God and they deserve it. Invest in others. Spend time with others. Mentoring and discipling. I don't spend time with somebody who thinks they've made it. I spend time with people who want to make it. Pray for the body of Christ and its leadership. Ask Dusty and Rick and I how you can be praying for us during the week. Ask how we could be praying for this body. What are the needs? What are the challenges? Where is God leading us next? The last one, put the relationship first by regularly spending time worshiping, praising, and thanking of God. Let me tell you something. We'll never understand on this side of heaven just how much the kingdom of God advances when we're doing the last one. When we're spending regular time thanking and praising and in His Word, we don't grasp how it impacts us spiritually. We're such a fickle group of human beings that we got to see it to believe it. When God says we believe it, then we'll see it. God's asking us to do it in faith. So those times when you want to do it, praise God. And those times you don't want to do it, but you push through, praise God. Because that's part of who you are. I guarantee you something. Tomorrow, there's going to be things that you look forward to, and there's things you don't look forward to. But you should always look forward to knowing that you get to praise and honor your Heavenly Father, no matter the what. So I want you to look at those for just a second. Opportunities in the body, out of the body, in the community. Times by yourself and with others. Back to invest in others and spend time with others, mentoring and discipling. Ask God, who keeps crossing my path that maybe I need to invest in? Who keeps coming to mind? Who keeps bugging me that God's trying to get my attention to be a part of their life? It might be for a short season. It might be for a long season, but remember this, church, it starts at home. It always has been, and it always will. We don't get to go somewhere else outside before we get to start right at home. And that's hard for some of us. That's hard for some of us. I think that for me, I'm blessed. It's easy for Kathy to disciple me. It's easy for her to mentor me. It's easy for her to instruct me because she loves me. But the tough part is sometimes I'm just hard-headed and hard-hearted. Sometimes I just want to do what I want to do. But that's not being a servant. That's just looking to serve. You are, and I am, a servant of the King. I want you to think about something for all those opportunities. I want you to think about some great men and women of the Bible. Let's think for this just a second. It didn't always turn out like they thought it was going to turn out, but let's see. David took lunch to his brothers and ended up killing Goliath. Paul went to persecute the church and lo and behold, Jesus showed up. history was changed instantly. Nehemiah was sipping on some wine to see if someone had poisoned the king, but he got to build a wall. It goes on and it goes on and it goes on. But did you notice somebody had to serve to see all that God could begin to do? And maybe you'll serve in obscurity. Praise God. Praise God. Obscurity. That's awesome. So John, go ahead and put that last slide up. Check your attitude regarding being a servant of God. Is your availability dependent upon your desire or God's desire for you to willingly serve others? Basically, are you putting conditions on it? Are you serving? Are you being a servant? And I like this John Piper quote, so I just thought I'd throw it in there today. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. You need some good quotes, just go look up John Piper. He's got a million of them, but that happens to be one of my favorite ones. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied. God our Father, He's a servant. Jesus the Christ, He's a servant. The Holy Spirit, that's who He is. And they'll never change. He just allows us to join Him in the greatest endeavor in the history of man. So I'm going to pray for us. You got your cards that Dusty reminds you about. I don't know what's stirring, but Gary, you want to jog on down here? Take a moment to dwell upon these things. Go ahead and close your eyes and bow your head while I pray for us. Because just in a moment, you'll have a chance to respond by bringing your cards and your envelopes forward. But I just want you to just soak on this for just a second. I praise God for faithful servants. I praise God for that. God, as I look amongst us, so many are faithful. So many are faithful. God, I pray that You would fill them afresh. Remind them of dreams and callings on their lives that maybe, just maybe, life is stolen from them. God, I want us to be in love with You more than we've ever been in love with You today. But God, I believe we got to just clear some things out. So God, examine us this morning. Examine our hearts. Examine our minds. Lord, what has our attitude been towards our family, towards our co-workers, towards just people we watch on internet or on the TV? God, what's our attitude been like? Lord, are our hearts becoming hardened? Is there bitterness taking root? God, if we need to repent of things this morning, then let's repent of them. Let's have a change of mind, change of heart, change of attitude. Let's just listen for a few moments to what the Spirit is speaking to us. We love You, Father. The altar is open. If you'd like to come pray with Dusty, Rick, or I, or someone else, you can bring your cards and envelopes at this time. Just continue to listen. Let God stir. It's okay to have a holy, uncomfortable feeling. Like I said, God's calling you to serve in some specific area. Tell somebody that might know somebody that could get you to the right somebody. Okay? I do praise God for your faithfulness, though. I do thank God often for all of you that so faithfully serve and pray. The prayer warriors that are showing up early on Sunday morning before most of you ever even wake up, there are people coming into this property, walking around praying, just asking God. Okay? And there's people that are praying for this city. God's up to something because He's God and He's the God of life. So let's pray and we'll send you out. Father, it's good to know that You are in control. And God, I know probably just this week there's been deception going on where we would even question that. The thought may have crossed our mind. Well, God, I pray that we'll look unto You, the sovereign God who is in control of all, our Creator, our Maker, our Provider, our Sustainer. Praise be to God. And as we leave this place, Father, remind us early and often that we are Yours and You love us and nothing can change it and nothing can separate it. In Jesus' name.